This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Tuesday, March 5th, 2019, getting into the month here, and we've got a lot to talk about today. It's been a very, very busy news day. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, ready to answer the phone, put you on the air with your comments, questions, and observations. And obviously, for those poor people over in Alabama, they're having a really, really rough time. So far, these tornadoes, they had this monstrous tornado, I guess was like an F4, F5, killed at least 23 people, including seven members of one family. And the meteorologists are warning there's going to be another blast of severe weather could come through the region in the coming days. So they're having a real hard time. They're using drones to help with the search and rescue, but it apparently is a huge mess. And again, that part of the world gets the most tornadoes because of the confluence of the Gulf of Mexico providing warm moisture and the Rockies sort of caroming off the Arctic flow coming from the north here. So that part of the United States gets most of the tornadoes in the entire world. Not all of them. We had one here a few years ago, hit just down the road, tore up a tree. Okay, over in London, they're launching a counterterrorism probe. Apparently, these small, improvised, I'm not going to call them explosives, more like pyrotechnic incendiary devices, were found at Heathrow Airport, City Airport, and Waterloo Train Station. And apparently, they were all in these A4-sized white envelopes, which were apparently primed to burst into flames when opened. So we're going to see what's going on with that. Trump is extending more sanctions and the national emergency with respect to Venezuela. And the situation is still escalating down there. Trump's latest statement says that the situation in Venezuela continues to unusual and extraordinary threat to the national security and foreign policy of the United States. Well, I'm sorry, I'm not buying that Venezuela is a threat to the United States. Okay, that's just complete and utter nonsense here. But Trump is going ahead to continue the national emergency declared in his executive order 13692. All righty. Now, Juan Guaido has returned to Caracas. He flew right into the Caracas airport, and he was met by the ambassadors of the foreign governments backing him. And so that was ambassadors from Germany, France, Spain, Netherlands, and several other countries, which basically met him at the arrival gate to basically huddle around him like a high-profile human shield. And obviously Maduro was not going to do anything involving foreign ambassadors. So that's how they've got him back into the country. Even though he does face a jail term for violating the court-ordered travel ban. Now, Bolton is assuming a strategy on Maduro Guaido leading to regime change. This is coming from Tamir Porras Ponsleon, a visiting professor at Sciences Po, the University of Political Studies in Paris, who served as deputy foreign minister of Venezuela, and basically saying that any attempt at preventing the safe return of Guaido would meet a strong and significant response from Washington. Well, obviously that did not happen. He's back there. Now, John Bolton is out there and saying basically that the United States is returning to the foreign policy principle of the Monroe Doctrine, which was this policy put in place by President Monroe to simply say, this hemisphere is ours. And we're just going to run it the way that we think it ought to be run, you know, for the benefit of oil companies and PepsiCo and United Fruit and so forth. And Bolton came on out literally saying, this is a direct quote, we're not afraid to use the word Monroe Doctrine. Actually, John, that's two words, just to sort of keep you together on this whole thing. Over in Syria, Israel is delivering more strikes. Apparently, battle tanks of the Israeli Defense Forces shelled positions of the Syrian Arab Army near Kars, Nafal, and Jubata al-Kashab in the province of Quneitra. Local sources said the Israel attack did not inflict casualties and revealed that these SAA positions are actually empty most of the time. So, didn't have some good intelligence on that one. Now, we've been reporting that the United States has been evacuating terrorists from Syria. Apparently, there was a little gold involved in the process. Where are they going? Well, as it turns out, they're being taken to Libya. And one has to wonder why that might be the case. But apparently, according to this article that came out of Katon.com, the U.S. is basically taking the terrorists from Syria, moving them to Libya. And, of course, Libya is this huge country at the crossroads of Europe and Africa. So, looks like the U.S. isn't quite done with Libya just yet. All right, we're going to do a shout-out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. One reason things may be heating up in Libya is that their biggest oil field has resumed production. This is going to be a complication for OPEC because OPEC is trying to trim a global supply glut and get those oil prices heading back up again. But the Sharara oil field's resumed production is expected to reach 80,000 barrels a day. According to people with knowledge of the matter who asked not to be identified because they weren't authorized to speak to the media. Regular output will be fully restored in the coming days now that the site has been resecured after a three-month occupation at the site. So site security has been restored and they're getting back to work. Apparently the shutdown led to $1.8 billion in lost production. So they're getting that back online, which ultimately is going to mean lower prices at the pump for you and I, which that's a good thing. The United States and Russia are still making stink face at each other over Europe, and Russia is saying they may be forced to deploy missiles capable of striking the entire European continent if the United States deploys such weapons in the region. Which seems likely, because that would be the reason for the United States to pull out of the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty. And the Russian ambassador to the U.S., Anatoly Antonov, was speaking at the Stimson Center, said, "We are very much concerned that after the decision of the United States to withdraw from INF, missiles could be deployed on the territory of European allies. We'll be forced to deploy our missiles. And here you will see the whole territory of European countries will be covered." So we're back in a Cold War. The military-industrial complex is calling the shots. Less money for you, more money for them. And hopefully nobody makes a bad mistake here. Now, Ukraine is coming up on their elections actually very, very soon. And apparently the authorities of Ukraine are now refusing international observers. The Ukrainian elections will be closed off from international observers. Ukraine has basically refused to accredit Germans as observers in the upcoming elections, including many representatives of the political party Die Link. And basically makes you wonder, well, you know, predict a landslide victory for Poroshenko there. Apparently, Ukraine is really scrambling to find weapons that they can continue to fire at Lugansk and Donetsk, that whole Donbass area. And the story came on out on the Lutsk TV channel of Verz, where apparently some of the tanks Ukraine is currently using were retrieved from inside the Chernobyl exclusion zone. In other words, they're radioactive. And that means the crews who are driving those tanks are quite likely to come down with various radiation-induced illnesses. Over in Iraq, despite talk of leaving, mostly on the side of the Iraqis, I might add, the U.S. is going to build two new military bases in Iraq, particularly in the province of Al-Anbar, to closely monitor the Tehran-Baghdad-Damascus-Beirut resistance axis. There's a mouthful for you. And to seize the large amount of gas present in this region. This will present a problem for resistance axis forces, and these moves go without the approval of the Iraqi government. All right. Over in Great Britain, Jeremy Corbyn has renewed his call for Britain to cease selling weapons to Israel following that United Nations report last week that the Israel's army's actions against Palestinian protesters in Gaza's Great March of Return could amount to war crimes. And I was seeing a story earlier on Fox where apparently Israel is trying to really fan up tensions along that border. I think they're concerned that when Gaza reaches that one-year anniversary, the world is going to take extra special note about what's been going on. So Corbyn is saying Britain shouldn't be selling weapons to Israel. Britain's arms makers are saying, no, we got to make a buck here. And, of course, Corbyn is being accused of being an anti-Semite and a Jew hater and all the usual stuff that goes along with not giving Israel what Israel wants here. Now, Benny Gantz, who's the Kahol Levon chairman and primary opponent to Netanyahu in the upcoming elections, has vowed never to withdraw from the Golan Heights, which was annexed by Israel following the 1967 Six-Day War, adding that he will work to promote American, European Union, and United Nations recognition of Israel's sovereignty over the disputed territory. Well, we already know it's going to be very easy here in the United States. It's already members of Congress that are trying to get a bill pushed on. They're saying, oh, yeah, Israel stole it fair and square. You know, we recognize their right to just hang on to it. And, of course, Gantz is talking about this, you know, we have to handle these threats to Israel's security on all fronts. There was no threat. Israel simply stole the Golan. And like they have stolen massive amounts of land in all of their wars. In fact, you should take a look at the map of Israel on its creation and look at Israel's map today and you see how much bigger it is. It's Israel that's trying to drive everybody else into the ocean. Their idea of Middle East peace is we want a piece of that one over there, and we want a piece of that one over there, and we want a piece of that one over there. Anyway, in response to what are being called incendiary balloons, these are balloons that apparently have a candle on them or something. They explode in the air, cause no damage to Israel. Nobody got hurt. No property got damaged. But Israel decided to close the Gaza border, blocking aid transfers as punishment. So, occupation forces regularly block access to the Gaza crossings as a means of controlling the Palestinian population. In July, Netanyahu said Kerem Shalom would be closed if kite and balloon launches continued with their activity. Now, this next situation is really going to set off the Mideast. The Federation of the Temple Mount Organizations yesterday called for the Al-Rama Mosque on the Temple Mount to be occupied and turned into a synagogue. And the group is also calling for establishing a Jewish directorate in the area, which is located at one of the entrances of Al-Aqsa Mosque, to oversee the Jewish activities inside Al-Haram al-Sharif. And the calls to turn this mosque into a synagogue came after Palestinians re-entered the Al-Rama Gate area of Al-Aqsa Mosque and performed prayers there for the first time in over 15 years. So according to Arab 48, the Temple Mount organization stressed on the importance of taking measures which lead to changing the identity of Al-Aqsa Mosque in order to guarantee a permanent Jewish presence there, eradicate the Muslim claim to the holy site, and impose Israeli sovereignty over it. One way of doing this, Arab 48 reported, would be to mobilize supporters to storm Al-Aqsa Mosque on Thursday in a bid to break into Al-Rama Gate and seize it. That will really set off tensions in the Middle East. All right, we got a caller on the line, Mo in Florida. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I guess I along with the subject here, my concern is this, that I think this whole thing with this Omar and their, this thing, is the internet's lit up on this thing with, I would say, 80-90% of people siding with her, even though they don't, probably half, I'm guessing here, don't like Muslims. But they realize, it's, you know, why argue with the truth? You don't kill the messenger. What she said is the truth, exactly what you're saying. And anybody can verify if they have the internet. But my concern is this, that, you know, if this whole, I'd say Jewish hatred, but it's really not about Jewish hatred. It's about, you know, Zionist.
Yes.
And the fact, everybody really knows, you talk about it, Israel has nukes. Pakistan has nukes. This thing gets out of control. I don't know if Israel really cares that much because of the upper, the Zionists. I think they believe that some kind of a messianic, you know, this Rabbi Shearson, whatever, he's known for her trying to get things hurried up to cause a destruction in the world, and their Messiah is going to come. And, I mean, that's not my words, Mike. I mean, is this just crazy?
No, there are truly people who are walking around, you know, the Christian Zionists and a bunch of others who are honestly convinced that, you know, they should hurry along the end of the world so that Jesus will come down from the big house and, you know, sit with them and, you know, play a couple of rounds of canasta.
But the Jews also, with their Moshiach, they think their Messiah is going to come down. They got the number one, this Rabbi Shearson guy, telling Netanyahu to hurry things up, get things going. We need to bring on the Moshiach right away, their Messiah.
Yep.
So I don't think they care if they have a nuclear war. I think they want to bring it on. That's bone chilling, you know?
Yeah, it is very, very scary. It is very scary. I think, I forget the name of it, but the particular church that Sarah Palin's family goes to up there in Alaska is one of those who think bringing on the end times is their mission.
Wow. I don't know. Where can we go, Mike? I guess New Zealand won't let us buy property. Is there any place to get the heck out of here? These people are crazy.
Well, yeah, they are. And unfortunately, if they get a global world war going, it's not going to matter where you are. Sooner or later, it'll catch up with you. You know, even down in New Zealand, it'll be like that movie On the Beach.
Yeah, Mike, you're right on. So I'll let you get back to your show and your other callers. I just had to, you know, air this out because it is very scary. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, thank you very much here. I think a reason for the support of Omar, it's not really a question of Israel versus Palestine or the Zionists. I think Americans fundamentally understand this is about freedom of speech, because everything that Ilhan Omar said is protected by that First Amendment right of free expression. And for the government to literally be talking about passing laws to limit our speech, that I think is waking Americans up and realizing just how close to dictatorship we are getting. Getting on back into the international news here, the United States has delivered a terminal high altitude air defense missile system, otherwise known as THAAD, to Israel for the very first time. The deployment comes as part of a joint exercise and is aimed to show the U.S. continued commitment to Israel's national security. And these missiles have been deployed basically this last week, and they'll be stationed in the country's south alongside some 200 U.S. military personnel. So everybody's arming up. The U.S. government has awarded arms manufacturer Lockheed Martin a $946 million payment on behalf of Saudi Arabia for an advanced missile defense system. And apparently in November, Saudi and U.S. officials signed the letters of offer and acceptance formalizing plans for Saudi Arabia to purchase the THAAD. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Oh, yeah. corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're going to go back to the phones to Terry in California. Aloha, Terry. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, we had an incident down here last weekend where some of the students down in Orange County had a get-together, and the kid that was putting the cups out for drinks, the plastic cups, he arranged them in a little Nazi symbol.
Yeah.
And the other students came up. I don't know if you heard about it, but the other students came up and they laughed and gave a Nazi salute. Somebody took a picture of it, put it on social media, and it just created a firestorm. You would have thought somebody attacked a mosque, you know? And it was on the news, on all the networks, all the local news. And they're going to have all these investigations, and they're going to force the students to apologize. They already did, some of them. And last night they had a meeting, and they had Holocaust survivors there, and they didn't look like it to me. They didn't look like they're old enough, but I don't know what their definition of Holocaust survivor is anymore. But anyway, they came out with statements, and somebody said the police were going to get involved. And the statements they came out were from, these Jewish groups and the school and the government. The mayor got involved. They condemned anti-Semitic and racist hate speech. Okay, Mike, let me just read a couple of statements made by government officials. You guess the government. The defense minister said the next time they go into Lebanon, they're going to hurt a lot of Lebanese civilians. Gantz said the next round on Gaza will be a lot worse than the one before.
Yeah.
The minister of education said, never peace plan with the Palestinians. Kill the terrorists. I killed a lot of Arabs. No problem with that. The minister of justice said, all Palestinians are the enemy, including the mothers of the marchers. I'm talking about the marchers.
Yeah.
And they should all go, including their homes. They raise snakes, and otherwise, if they don't take down their homes, more snakes will be born and raised. The deputy director of defense said, the Palestinians are all beasts. They are all not human. The minister of foreign affairs says, no Palestinians between the Jordan River and the sea. Now, my question to you is, does any of that sound like hate speech to you?
Oh, certainly it sounds like hate speech. Getting on back to that incident with the cups and the Sieg Heil and the fury around it, it feels to me like it's a public relations campaign. And we know what's been going on over in France. Is there have been all these hate crime hoaxes and all these so-called anti-Semitism going on, which has been supporting pressure by the Jewish community for Macron to basically pass a law saying that criticism of Israel is anti-Semitism and can be criminalized. And they're pushing for the same thing here. And so I expect we're probably going to see a lot more of this kind of stuff show up being staged by Israel supporters to try and say, oh, we've got to all feel sorry for Israel no matter what it's doing to the Palestinians. And, you know, we've got to remember the Holocaust. And I'm in agreement with you. It's some of these so-called Holocaust survivors I've seen in the media lately, it's hard to believe they're actually that old. And it wasn't all that long ago where Israel was saying that actually the children of Holocaust survivors were themselves Holocaust survivors because their parents' trauma had tainted their childhood. So maybe that's how they're getting these young people in there. But it's all politics and it's all propaganda and it's all bovine excrement.
Yeah, you know what surprised me the most about this whole thing? They interviewed some students in the school, some ones that are like in the lower grades, not the seniors, but talking to them about the incident. And I was surprised how brainwashed they were, you know, just going along with what they're told. And I mean, that's not surprising. They're students, but, you know, about how terrible this was and, you know, the one way to look at it, you know, that tells me there's already a lot of indoctrination in schools.
Oh, well, that was what Common Core was all about. You know, don't think for yourself. Just, you know, take what you hear on TV and from your teachers and repeat it. That's all you need to do to be a proper U.S. citizen. I mean, we've got an article coming up here in which they're trying to say that you if you're anti-Zionist, that you're un-American as well. I mean, they're just trying to make all these linkages to try and get people to say, well, I'm an American, therefore I must support Israel. No, there's absolutely no link there. Not if Israel is committing war crimes.
Yeah, you know where this thing's going, Mike? It's going from Israel up to the New World Order. Like, if you criticize the New World Order and the UN, then they'll come up with something like anti-Semitic and can't be tolerated. And in the future, you won't be able to even criticize the New World Order. And I know it's going to be a Zionist New World Order.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, thank you for the phone call, Terry. We've got to let you go and take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. Now, South Korea and the United States have agreed to cancel their annual spring joint military exercises in support of Trump's effort to persuade North Korean leader Kim Jong-un to give up his nuclear and ballistic missile arsenals. And we've been hearing rumors about this for a while, but it was officially confirmed over the weekend in the form of a transcript of a phone call between Acting Defense Secretary Patrick Shanahan and his South Korean counterpart, Jeong Kyung-do. So they're not going to have those little war games that were making North Korea very nervous. Basically, they're saying the U.S. and South Korean military forces will maintain readiness to defend the South against the North with newly designed command post exercises and revised field training programs, which was probably going to save a lot of money. But you need to keep in mind, one of the gestures that North Korea made following the first summit with Donald Trump is they basically took down all that artillery on their side of the DMZ. You know, it's been sitting up there aiming across the DMZ, and basically they just trucked it all away, put it in storage. So I don't think North Korea is a threat to South Korea. I don't think the Koreas are a threat to each other. And I still think that Moon Jae-in and Kim Jong-un, when Trump isn't around, are still talking about reunification. And apparently, South Korea's soccer leadership has sent a proposal to North Korea to jointly bid for the 2023 Women's World Cup. So that's another symbolic gesture that the Koreas could be getting back together. I think it would be a great idea. I think it would be a great, great idea. However, all of this Sturm und Drang with the United States, it is not drawing North Korea into the warm embrace of the United States. Quite the contrary. Apparently, Kim Jong-un is getting ready to pay a visit to Russia. And Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov has said they haven't agreed on the date, but it is in the near future. And the contacts are going on through diplomatic channels. All righty. Apparently, China has an aircraft called the JF-17 jet fighter. It basically looks a lot like the F-16. Only it's a lot less expensive. And apparently their Pakistan is going to open up a factory to produce this aircraft. They want to basically fabricate 25 a year. And again, the manufacturers of the F-16 are saying, well, you know, you don't get all the bells and whistles that you get with the F-16. It's just a bare bones aircraft. But, you know, one of the things that they learned during Vietnam was that those Russian MiGs, because they didn't have a lot of bells and whistles, they were very maneuverable. And Russia could put up a lot more of them because they were inexpensive. So I think Pakistan may be on the right track here. All right, let's turn to domestic politics. And I should have gotten out my fanfare horns for this one, but Hillary Clinton, on a TV interview, has ruled out running in 2020. This was in an interview with News 12. The room went wild. And basically she said that she's going to be taking an active role working with the candidates in the crowded Democratic field. But she said, I am not running. I'm going to keep on working and speaking and standing up for what I believe. But she's still out there whining about 2016. And her latest scapegoat now is a Supreme Court decision. And she's saying, you know, that gosh darn Supreme Court, they gutted the Voting Rights Act. And it made a really big difference. And that's her latest scapegoat. She lost 2016 because the Republicans gutted the Voting Rights Act. No, Hillary, you lost 2016 because we don't like you. And it would be nice if you would get over this. It's history. Now, interestingly enough, Time magazine has come out with a story saying that if the Mueller report disappoints you, it's actually your fault for believing Trump's false narrative that Mueller had to prove collusion. Well, I'm sorry, Time, that is what Mueller's special counsel was empowered to do, was to prove that there was collusion between Russia and Donald Trump. And it's very obvious at this point, the corporate media is sort of bracing leftists for the worst and sort of trying to say, well, you know, it was just no big deal. They're trying to prepare for a soft landing as opposed to a crash landing. Now, somebody has said that March 26th is when the report is going to be delivered, but apparently there have been copies of it already leaked out. So it's floating on out there. And having failed to find anything with the Robert Mueller special counsel, the Democrats are already launching yet another investigation, this one for abuse of power. And they're targeting 81 people and groups, including Donald Trump Jr., Jared Kushner, Roger Stone, Michael Cohen, Hope Hicks, just on and on and on. basically they're grabbing everybody inside the president's inner circle. And Trump, of course, is saying it's a political hoax, it's a witch hunt, it's a fishing expedition. And he's absolutely right. That's exactly what it is. They don't have evidence of a crime. They don't even have probable cause. Anyway, Robert Mueller has notified the judge that Roger Stone has posted an Instagram image that could violate the gag order. Now, the judge imposed a strict gag order on Stone, and apparently Stone tweeted out this image of him with the words, "Who Framed Roger Stone?" which was a takeoff on the movie Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And apparently Mueller went to Judge Amy Berman and said that was it. That was a violation of the gag order. Now, Stone is barred from criticizing Mueller's team of prosecutors under the gag imposed February 21st after the longtime Republican operative posted an Instagram image of Jackson's face next to a rifle scope's crosshair. That was a little bit over the line. But the rancor in D.C. is just reaching incredible, incredible deals. All right, so let's talk about Ilhan Omar. And the House Democrats are they're out there saying, we have to take action. We have to confront Omar's latest Israel comments. Well, apparently in Congress, the first rule of Israel Club is you don't talk about Israel Club, because that seems to be what Omar has done that they don't like. Because nothing Ilhan Omar said was wrong. It was all factual. And she has a First Amendment right to say it. But apparently the mood in Congress right now is, you know, you can't do that. You can't criticize Israel. You know, criticize Trump. We're all ganging onto Trump. We'll criticize Trump. Don't you dare say anything bad about Israel. And apparently Omar is out there making an issue about all these members of Congress who seem to have an allegiance to a foreign country. And, of course, that's being called an anti-Semitic trope as well here. Ilhan Omar, in this article that came out in Mondo Weiss, "I am told I am anti-American if I'm not pro-Israel, and that's problematic," end quote. I absolutely agree. There's no linkage between the two. I'm pro-America. I'm concerned about the actions of Israel's government. And the two are not incompatible. But she's apparently standing strong in the face of all this criticism. And let's see. Another article, again, from Mondo Weiss, saying that basically all of these allegations of anti-Semitism are meant to distract everybody from what Ilhan Omar said, which is in turn going to have people looking at what's going on in Israel. What's Israel's government doing? Well, it's apartheid. And we all know apartheid is wrong. We were all united when South Africa was an apartheid state, and that government is now gone. Israel's an apartheid state. That basic law that they just passed codes it right into black and white. And every time you ask about what's going on over there in Gaza, what's going on in Palestine, oh, you're an anti-Semite. You're a Jew hater. Now, over in France, as I mentioned before, there's been a whole string of hate crime hoaxes to support Macron trying to criminalize criticism of the government of Israel. And apparently more than 400 intellectuals, artists, and activists have signed an open letter to Macron that was published back on the 28th of February in the national newspaper Liberation. Let me read you this quote. "Mr. President, we are French citizens who respect the laws of the Republic. But if you adopt a law against anti-Zionism, or if you officially adopt an erroneous definition of anti-Semitism that permits outlawing it, please know that we will break this law with our words, our writing, our art, and our acts of solidarity. And if you decide to pursue us, to silence us, even to imprison us for that, well, you can come and get us." Very well said. I think people all over understand this is an attack on our freedom of speech. And if they get away with it, if they carve out an Israel exception to that First Amendment, then it'll be a vaccine exception. Then it'll be a GMO exception. Then there'll be exceptions saying you can't criticize, you know, politicians or the president. Well, the Democrats are going to say, yeah, criticize the president. But that First Amendment is an absolute. There are no exceptions to it. And it's not about art. It's not about scantily clad ladies dancing with a brass pole. It is about our right to criticize the government openly without fear of repercussion, any government. And do you realize how absurd the situation is that they're coming up with in Congress? They basically want to have a country where we're free to criticize the United States government, but it's a crime if we criticize the government of Israel. I mean, how lame can that be? Okay. Looking at Kamala Harris and her political rise out in California, basically Donald Trump was one of her financial backers. And Trump donated a total of $6,000 to Harris' campaign for California Attorney General. His daughter Ivanka gave Harris $2,000 in 2014. The first donation from Trump for $5,000 in September 2011 came months after he had been popping up on cable news promoting a conspiracy theory that President Barack Obama was born in Kenya, not the United States, which has been widely condemned as racist. Now, as long-term readers of this site know, since I live on Oahu, I confirm, yes, Barack Obama was born here. The reason for the second birth certificate was because Barack Obama Sr. was not his biological father. Frank Marshall was. Frank Marshall went to UH Manoa, where he met Obama's mother. He was a pornographer. She was one of his models, and you know, things happen. And when Barack Obama Sr. married Obama's mother, rather than go through that process of an abortion, they just asked for the birth certificate to be reissued. And that actually was a very common thing back there. Very, very common thing. Okay. Here's another one. The Never Trumpers are just, they're deranged. They are absolutely deranged in their hate of him. And apparently, they're trying to make an issue over the fact that Trump may have interfered with that AT&T Time Warner deal. And apparently there's an anonymous source that the New Yorker relied on to report that in the summer of 2017, several months before the Department of Justice filed the antitrust lawsuit, Trump allegedly had an Oval Office sit down with Cohen and then Chief of Staff John Kelly, in which he wanted to make sure the Department of Justice lawsuit seeking to block the merger was filed. And now they're trying to turn that into an impeachable offense. Okay, the new darling of the Democratic Party, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, is in hot water along with her chief of staff. And apparently they were in control of a political action committee that was supporting Ocasio-Cortez during her campaign while she was campaigning. And you're not allowed to do that. And apparently something like $2 million in campaign donations was quietly moved from the campaign to the private companies of her chief of staff. Apparently they wanted to have an off-the-books slush fund, shades of Richard Nixon. But these are major, major campaign law violations. And they could actually go to jail for that one. So that's heating up here. And apparently Ocasio-Cortez never disclosed to the Federal Election Commission that she and Chakrabarty, who served as her campaign chair, controlled the PAC while it was simultaneously supporting her primary campaign. Former FEC commissioners say the arrangement could lead to multiple campaign finance violations. The group backed a total of 12 Democrats during the 2018 midterms, but Ocasio-Cortez was the only one of those to win the general election. So that is looking very dicey for Alexandria. her fall from grace could be spectacular. I mean, you know, she was being held up. She's the new darling. She's going to move forward. She's going to run in 2020. I think like Icarus, she's flown too close to the sun here. Former Attorney General Loretta Lynch was testifying before congressional lawmakers in closed-door testimony and reportedly seems to be suffering from amnesia because they were asking her about the approval of the FBI warrant and renewals to spy on Carter Page. She said she couldn't remember the applications, did not remember the details contained in the applications or the circumstances surrounding the conversations. You know, I don't recall. I have no specific recollection. Must be something in the water in Washington, D.C. Everybody's got such poor memories. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigraLeaf. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigraLeaf migraine formula. MigraLeaf is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigraLeaf for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. Now, something is going on over there with former MI6 spy Christopher Steele. And apparently he was planning to give a video appearance at a pro-democracy gathering in Baltimore for a group founded by Trump-hating chess champion Garry Kasparov. And I guess Steele was just going to come on out there with collusion and everything that was in the dossier. But apparently, because of something that Michael Cohen said during his testimony, Steele has now canceled it. And so it's yet another indication that, well, Michael Cohen basically debunked a key claim in the dossier that he traveled to Prague in August of 2016 to meet with Kremlin officials. And I guess Christopher Steele doesn't want to have to deal with being asked, why did you goof up on that? All righty. Catherine Austin Fitz is out there saying, follow the money. Unfortunately, we're seeing the government as it continues to sort of merge with private interests and corporations. They're changing the legal structure of how money is tracked. And we're looking at the Federal Accounting Standards Advisory Board. It's a private group that advises the government, and they're creating a mechanism to control entirely in secret, even from the U.S. president. So the federal government and all the agencies are now permitted to keep secret books, which means you, the taxpayer, are not allowed to know where those taxes are going. Secrecy begets tyranny here. All right, getting into the economic news here. I know that the conventional wisdom on the corporate media is the economy is booming. The the stock market is just soaring up there, and you know, everything's all hunky dory. And we know it is a pile of codswallop. And let's see. All righty. I'll fix that later. The indicators are not good. The indicators are not good. They've been propping up the stock market all this time, and that is starting to not work as well. The Baltic Dry Index is really down. That tells us manufacturing is down. But there's an article that came out here from shtfplan.com about 18 numbers that show the U.S. economy is in trouble. Farm loan delinquencies just hit the highest level that we have seen in 9 years. U.S. exports declined by $4 billion just during the month of December. JCPenney just announced they'll be closing another 24 stores. We'll be right back after station identification.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
extend your life with Extendovite.